My next guest, I'm going to describe this lady as the hardest working politician I have ever met, and I do not say that lightly. She's a member of the Australian Labor Party. She's a member of the Legislative Assembly. She is the member for Maitland. She's also the minister for Regional Transport and Roads. I'm talking, of course, of Jenny Aitchison, and she joins me this afternoon. Thanks for your time, Jenny.
Thank you, Tony. Lovely to chat to you.
Yeah, likewise. Now, just to let everyone know, I do know you. You're a neighbour. We're in a similar business coaching group for many, many years. And I received your Maitland Matters June budget edition, which I want to talk to you about, particularly in your role as roads minister. Now, one of the things that I've been banging on about for quite a few years, and it's good to see that your side of politics has finally listened, and that is improving the roads around the local area. Now, again, I know you've got a focus for Maitland, but of course we drive around Newcastle, Lake Macquarie, and Maitland, and I've seen here that the government's a lot of the announcements you made in your newsletter is the amount of money that is being spent on road duplication. So, do you want to take us through a few of those?
Yeah. So, look, there's a massive amount of projects happening in the Hunter region. And, like, to be fair, some of them did start under the former government, some of them stalled under the former government, got restarted, and some of them we're just going with ourselves. But it's about $3.5 billion worth of major projects right now. So that's including things like the M1 to Raymond Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big game changer. That is actually part of the missing link for it between Queensland and Sydney,
yes,
essentially.
Yeah.
And it's going ahead, Hexham Strait widening, so that helps all those people who go from Maitland to Newcastle every day and back.
Mm. Yep.
The Singleton Bypass, that will help all the people who go up to the mines every day and have to deal with the Singleton car park as it is,
yes,
at the moment.
Well, it's funny how radio announcers, and you know, you listen to them every morning and they say, and the usual roadblocks, you know, the usual, I'm thinking, why are there always the usual roadblocks? Why aren't we doing something about it? So, so there are some projects that are finally getting going. Now, did I hear recently that the Singleton one has stalled? Is there a delay or something like that? Did I hear that was happening? It's progressing?
No. Singleton Bypass is going ahead. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first sort of major contracts that we actually signed as a government. So very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know, trying to resolve all of those land acquisition issues, and so everything's sort of going along fairly well there now.
Mm-hmm.
Muswellbrook Bypass is the next cab off the rank.
Yep.
There's planning happening there. Basically, you know, the money's there. We know it's going to happen.
So it's been allocated, yeah.
Yeah, and we're continuing planning and commencement of early works this financial year. But what we do have to do is, when you've got that number of projects going all at once, you've got to have a workforce, you've got to have materials. So there is a bit of staging there. So while they do the planning in the background, and it does take some time, because once you decide the route, you've got to decide, you know, about land acquisitions, you've got to decide about all the geotechnical stuff, you know, testing, etc., get all those environmental impact statements through, then we will be ready to do it. But what will be in the meantime is working on the construction parts, like the actual, you know, diggers in the ground sort of work at Singleton. So then hopefully we get a situation where we can just flow from one to the other.
Yeah, and I think that's been a big problem of late. There's too much too soon, and there's too many projects happening at the same time, and next thing you know, there's a labour war, and in terms of trying to get, you know, people, you know, and you know, paying overs for people to come along. So stage projects, like you're saying, makes a lot more sense.
Oh, absolutely. And if you just look at it, really, like under the former government in Sydney, they had that kind of idea of do everything all at once right now.
Yep.
And they had $20 billion worth of cost blowouts on those projects, because the labour gets expensive,
yes,
the materials go
it.
Up, and
yeah,
it's a cost. And when I look at that as a regional person, I think, wow,
what
$20
a waste.
Billion.
Yeah, yeah, what
I'd,
a waste
I'd
of
love
money.
A one or two on that on our network in the region.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's, I guess that's what frustrates a lot of people in the regional areas. You look at the amount of money they're spending on, you know, North Connects, on West Connects, and you think, gee, you know, and the cost blowout alone, we could get some decent bridges and some flood mitigation. I also noticed, so tell me about the Rankin Park to Jesmond upgrade as well, because that's another massive, significant change to our region.
Oh, massively. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's the fifth section of the Newcastle Inner City Bypass. I can remember back when I very first moved to Maitland back in the early 2000s, that, you know, people were talking about this is going to happen, and it just stalled and stalled. So when it is complete, there should be a reduction of up to 80% getting through that 3.5 kilometre section.
Yeah.
It's one of our largest infrastructure projects in Newcastle. There's going to be an avoidance of 11 sets of traffic lights.
Wow.
And they think that they're going to remove up to 30,000 vehicles a day from Lookout Road.
From there, yeah, right, from Lookout, because it's going to go through the, yeah, through the back way, because it's, yeah, it's going to connect up around the back of the hospital, the John Hunter Hospital.
Yeah, so, and they think it's going to be really good. Like, one of the things is that just people are now starting to see it, because as you come around the roundabout, you sort of go under things, so you say, oh, it's actually really happening now.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that it took a long time, because obviously there was a lot of environmental controls, and then also there was the archaeological salvage, because there was that 1920s era Hollywood camp at Jesmond.
Right.
They don't just go, oh, yeah, we'll just clear
just
it through.
Through.
They have to do all the archaeological, and then, of course, Aboriginal sites as well. So
yeah, of course.
It is really important. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you about your pet project. Now, it was a definite pet project while you were in opposition, but you did see it come to fruition, and that's the Maitland Hospital. And that's an increase, a 10% increase in staffing, and also trying to take pressure off the emergency departments. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So this is a really exciting thing that the government's come up with here. So state governments normally don't get involved in bulk billing, but we know that it's a real challenge for our regional doctors, because what they're getting back from Medicare, some of them find it pretty difficult to sort of make ends meet. And then on top of that, they were having to pay payroll tax if they had those large doctor surgeries. So,
my favourite topic.
Right, of course, as an accountant. But it is a real challenge. So what happens is, when doctors aggregate their services, so they're really probably just getting the advantages of having shared facilities and some shared admin, they're having to pay payroll tax on that, which is a fair whack for them. And so other states have done different things. But what we said is, we are going to extinguish under legislation any deal that they had, that they had to pay that money back.
Yeah.
And then what we will do going forward is, they'll get a rebate if they're bulk billing 70% in the regions or 80% in the metro.
Yeah.
Now, what that means for us is, Maitland Hospital ED, we all know how hard it is to get to see a doctor, but we also know that that's because often doctors don't want to come to regions because they, you know, they can't get the incentive. So this is providing a really good incentive for our region, and that will reduce the number of presentations, because we know that, I think the figures that the Premier was saying the other day was something, for every 1% reduction in bulk billing, it's 300,000 extra presentations to an emergency department. Now, that's across the state.
That's insane, yeah.
But it will do it. So but also, the thing I will say to your listeners, and I know Maitland Hospital has had a lot of issues with staffing and that 10% increase isn't finishing the job. What we're doing in that is also providing incentives for young people and anyone really to go and do more tertiary training to become health workers.
Yep.
We know there's shortages, and then that will help us to recruit that workforce of the future. We really want to get to higher levels of staffing in the hospital, which will help it move right through. And it's not just nurses or paramedics, it's ancillary staff, the people who book you in. They're also the people.
Oh, look, I think everyone's got a horror story about waiting in an emergency department. I mean, you know, waits of 10 hours are not unusual, and it's just appalling that, in an advanced Western country like ours, that people are having to wait for such a long period of time. And it's frustrating because, I mean, we've been there with our daughter, and luckily that, you know, she got seen to, pretty quickly. But you are sitting there for quite a long time, and you think, and the triage nurses are excellent. I mean, they say, yeah, you're not far away, and next thing you know, someone comes in on, you know, from a motorbike accident, they've got to, see to them first, and you think, oh, here we go again. So you just keep getting pushed back.
Yeah, having more options with the doctors is going to definitely help. But I want people to know, I know that if it's you in that situation, and like, I'll actually share something to you about, I don't know, 7 years ago, I was in St Vincent's Hospital, and I was in the ED there for 51 hours. And in fact, no one came and saw me for 16 hours. So I really feel, when people are telling me these things, and I know it happens around the state, what I'm really concerned is that it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
And And if people have issues, I'm always happy to hear about it, because I have to advocate. Even though I'm in government, I still have to advocate to the minister. If things aren't going right in Maitland, I still want to know about it, because I didn't stop being a local member when I became a minister.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, it's probably made it easier in one sense, because all the ministers talk to us now, whereas when we're in opposition, it wasn't the case.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to talk to you about the payroll tax scenario. So just to give our listeners a bit of context here, so there were quite a series of high-profile payroll tax cases by state governments, not only New South Wales, Victoria and also Queensland, where they took on medical centres, they took on dental practices, they took on even finance brokers and said, we're going to treat these payments that you're making to the GPs as deemed wages. There were some pretty heavy arguments going backwards and forwards. Long story short, all of those cases were decided in the favour of the state revenue officers, which were roundly criticised. And it wasn't, because I kept asking, because I've got a few medical clients, I kept asking the questions, you know, what's the AMA doing about this? Nothing, you know, a lot of the industry associations. It wasn't until the final case was decided, it was locked in law, then all of a sudden the AMA did get interested and started having some very urgent discussions with the state governments, and I think Victoria and Queensland put a pause on them, but I don't think they've gone as far as you guys have gone. I think this 70% is a very clever way of doing things, because you're now encouraging people, because doctors didn't want to bulk bill. They just went, no, we're not bulk billing. We're not doing that. But now, if there is a, you know, and we know if we give people enough financial incentive or disincentive, they'll actually change their behaviours. This 70% and 80% in the metropolitan areas, that might actually encourage them to go back to the bulk billing model, which then helps everyone, and it helps them because they don't have to pay payroll tax. I am still a little bit concerned it didn't extend to dental practices as well, but I guess the Medicos is a good start.
Yeah, I think the thing for me is it's a win-win. The cost to the health system of people who can't get into, say, a GP through a bulk billing system is astronomical, and so we really have to start there. You know, this was a really difficult budget for us. You know, we had really the largest debt ever handed from one government to another when we came to office, and then the GST from the Commonwealth Grants Commission, where that's gone against New South Wales again, that hasn't helped us. You know, the deal that the former Prime Minister Morrison went into with WA, that really rewards them. Other states get much more royalties for their coal than we do. There's a whole lot of different
indicators
that are legacy. So what we've said is, okay, this is a budget of, like, we've got to get stuff done. That's even, you know, why we've been looking at, in terms of road infrastructure, we're putting $3.3 billion into road recovery because we know that all the natural disasters, we've just got to fix them.
And the flow-on problem is that it makes everything that we're buying more expensive, or, you know, our groceries, our, you know, all of our, you know, clothes, everything that we're buying. If it's taking longer for these products to get from point A to point B, we're the ones who are going to end up paying for it.
Oh, absolutely. And if they even can't get there at all, which is the case in some places, it is really struggling. And if I look back at previous budgets, it's been about $190 million spent on recovery from natural disasters. We've got a $4.5 billion bill, right? Like, you're not going to knock that out in a couple of years. So we've actually, just in the last 3 months in transport, we've spent somewhere in the order of $194 million.
Yep.
So a full annual budget for disaster, we've got it out the door in 3 months. So we're really escalating that work. It's giving councils the, you know, certainty to do the work. Because you imagine if you're a little council with a tiny budget and your road damage is three times your annual budget. Like, they don't want to even start to do anything in case they don't get the payments through. So it's really about getting the certainty. Yeah.
All right, wonderful. Thank you for your time. I appreciate everything you've mentioned there. And as I said, I famously once tell people this story that you introduced me to one of your friends and said, "Oh, this is Tony Vidre. He doesn't vote for me." And I looked at you and I said, "You don't know that."
So, no, that's right.
That was a funny.
I don't know.
That was a funny. That was a funny. I don't let anyone know how I vote. Not even my own wife knows how I vote. But I think you're a real asset to the local community, and I appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you so much, Jenny, and so are you. It's great to hear your voice again.
Thank you so much. Good on you. That's the Honourable Jenny Aitchison, member for Maitland and also Minister for Roads.